right, all right. Well, you excited? I'm excited for Christmas. Come let us adore him. Hashtag come let us adore him. We've never done this before. We're gonna get techie here. And so if you want to use that hashtag for any photos of holiday things that are happening around the church, we're going to try to compile some photos and use those later on in the series. And so if you do that, hashtag come let us adore him, hashtag Charles River Church, we'll put it to good use and just kind of celebrate the times that we're having together as a church family. But hey, obviously this morning's going to look a little different than our normal sermon time. I got my friend Rachel up here, and you guys love Rachel? We love Rachel. She's awesome, and she is one of the co-directors of our River Kids ministry. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to split up the sermon time three ways, so it's going to look different. What we do every year as a church family is we have a special Christmas offering that extends from the first week of Advent all the way through our Christmas season to Christmas Day. And this is just a time for us as a church family to just really rally together around some specific causes that God's put on our heart, and to give above and beyond our regular giving so that we can really meet some needs and go forward with the vision that God's been putting on our hearts. And so today what we're going to do in these three different sections is highlight some of the different things that God has called us to give to this year. And so here's our hope for this Christmas season for us as a church family and the people that are in our spheres of influence is that we together would look to Jesus. That together we would come and adore Jesus. That's really what life is all about, is to fix our eyes on Jesus, to behold him. The scripture says that as we behold him, 2 Corinthians, that we're being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. And so as we look to Jesus, we're being increasingly changed more and more like him. And so have you ever looked at somebody and caught them looking at somebody else? You know what I'm talking about? Like I specifically remember a few occasions in college where I look at one of my buddies and I clearly saw him checking out another girl. And I said, bro, you were looking. I saw you checking her out. Why don't you just get the courage up and ask her on a date? You know, anybody ever been there? You caught somebody looking at somebody else? Or I love visiting parents in the hospital when they have a new baby, and just watching them just look at their new child is just a beautiful thing. And then I also have my pastor who's in his 70s, just a great, great man of God. I've always admired looking at him and watching him watch his wife. Just the way he looks at his wife, I think, 40 years from now, I want to look at my wife like that. I mean, I just want to still be that much in love with her and that much pursuing her, and just that I want that. And here's the deal. In the Bible, when you look at Jesus, you often see him looking at other people. I mean, that's the heart of Jesus. You catch him looking at other people. One great example of that is in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus gives us this parable of the sheep. He talks about 100 sheep, and then one of those sheep goes astray, and the shepherd, which is ultimately pointing to Jesus, then goes after that one sheep that goes astray. And the point is that Jesus doesn't forget about anybody, that Jesus doesn't overlook anybody. And so often as we look to Jesus, we're going to see Jesus looking at others, and specifically the others that we see Jesus looking at are those people who are often overlooked in our world. And this year's Christmas offering, we just really felt like God put it on our heart to go after giving towards the overlooked. You guys in with that? You good with that? We're going to give to the overlooked this year. And so the first of the three areas that we really want to give to this year is to younger people, to the next generation. We really have a call, a unique call in our hearts as our church family, is to really minister to younger people. And that's why we have Rachel up here. And again, think about that parable, Jesus in Matthew chapter 18. When he gives that parable, the 99, if you read the context, it's quite likely that he had kids crawling up on him and trying to sit on his lap, and he had parents trying to get Jesus to hold their little children. And one of the things that he says, see to it that you do not despise one of these little ones. And then later the disciples try to rebuke the parents who are bringing their children to Jesus, say, no, don't bother him, he's so important. He says, no, let him come to me. I love children being around. And it shows the heart of Jesus that he values children, he values young people, and he says that that we're not to overlook them, and so we're not going to overlook them. We're going to be like Jesus. And so again, this is why Rachel's up here. Rachel, along with Pam Miranda, Kevin's wife, direct our River Kids ministry, and we just love what God's doing in the River Kids ministry. It's really, really just beautiful. And we have several incredible ministries to young people. We have River Kids that takes place here on Sunday mornings. We also have our Kids Connect, directed by Christina and Crystal, and those ladies for years have been doing an amazing job in a housing development, just ministering to kids once a month, and kids who oftentimes can easily get overlooked. And then we also have our ministry to teenagers, Teen Connect, and our middle school connection group. And I want to show you a photo, in fact, from a couple of years ago. Our Christmas offering specifically went to providing scholarships for some of our teenagers to go to camp. And so there you are, Rachel, bottom right. Your hair was blonder back then. I like that. And so that was mean. I'm sorry. I bring her up here, and then anyways, that's beautiful. And so there's some teenagers that you guys scholarship with the Christmas offering to go to camp. And I'm just excited about what God's going to do with the funds specifically to the next generation in this Christmas season. And so you do a stellar job. I'm just really grateful for all that you do and the way you serve our children and the other leaders of children and teenagers as well in our church. And so a couple of questions. I wanted to get them to hear a little bit of your heart. First of all, I'd love just to hear what's ultimately your desire, your greatest hope for the River Kids ministry and everything that takes place in this hallway on a Sunday morning. Greatest hope.
Okay. So one verse that I keep coming back to is Proverbs 22:6, which says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So our hope is that River Kids on Sunday morning is a catalyst for what happens in the children's homes, and that we work on equipping the parents too, because they're only here on Sundays. They're not just coming here to learn about Jesus on Sundays. Really, the most of their time spent training is in the home. And then also, we hope that as they grow up, they look back on this time in River Kids at Charles River Church and know that God was started pursuing them here, and that all the truths that they're learning on Sundays are really hidden in their heart for later in life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, the mandate for training up children is not even on the church. The mandate is on parents, and then the church gets to come alongside and support them in that. And so we have children whose parents love the Lord, and we also have children that come who their parents don't know the Lord, and they're here for various ways that they got here. And so I just love what you guys do, and I love that heart. It's beautiful. And I was just wondering, before we have a little special treat, would you just share a story of how you're seeing just this desire, that this prayer of your heart come to reality in our church here?
One of my favorite stories is from this past year. I was having snack with the 4 and 5-year-olds in their class, and they're just talking amongst each other, and one of the 4-year-olds says to the other kids at the table, everyone loves God. And then another kid chimes in and says, not everyone loves God, but God loves everyone. And it's just so sweet to see that the truths that she's learning in class, that the Spirit is really moving in her and making them real to her, and so much in a way that she felt she had to defend them to the other kids in her class. So that was really fun.
That's really cool. I love that. God loves everyone. Everyone doesn't love God, but God loves everyone. That's sweet. So, hey, you're in on the surprise, but we've got a really special treat for you guys today. We've actually, because our heart is for ministering to the next generation, we have a panel of experts that we brought in to share a little bit about children's ministry with you guys. And so I'm super excited for you guys to hear from our panel of experts. I mean, these guys are world-renowned, at least Boston-renowned, for what they know about kids' ministry. And so I'm going to invite our experts up. We've got our River Kids. Invite them up. Come on, we got a few River Kids coming on up here. High five. Pound it. Oh, breaking my knuckles. High five. Pound it. Welcome. I'm going to ask you guys some questions. Is that okay? Right, come on, stand up here. Stand on this side over here, buddy. Good. Tell everybody your name.
Luca.
Tate.
Paul.
Paula.
Paul and Paula.
Zoe.
And Zoe. You guys face everybody out here, okay? Come on over here. These guys they're awesome, and they know a lot about children's ministry. And so I'm going to ask them a few questions. And the first thing I want to ask you, my man, because you're getting tall, and you're very smart. On December 25th, we have a very special occasion coming up here. It's somebody, like, extremely important's birthday. Whose birthday is on December 25th?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah, Jesus' birthday, right? We're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday. You guys excited about celebrating Jesus' birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you already know what you're asking for Christmas? What are you asking for Christmas? You don't want, she doesn't want anything. Just make a note that she doesn't need anything. She is awesome. Is that true? No, you do know what you want? What you want?
A skateboard.
Skateboard. All right. So if you see her rolling in January with a broken arm, I'm just kidding. That's awesome. You know what you want? You're not asking for anything, are you? No, he just wants peace and harmony, right? That's all you want.
Yeah.
All right, good. That's done. Done. All right, very good, very good. Hey, can I ask you a question? What do you want for Christmas?
Same as.
You also? You want peace and harmony. Look at this guy right here. Parents, make note. This is beautiful. They have raised their children very well, and so excellent. Good job. Hey, I'm going to ask you some more questions here. Luca, can you tell me what is your favorite part about River Kids? And so you guys are about to take off to River Kids in just a minute here. What's your favorite part about River Kids?
The teachers.
Hey, good man. He loves the teachers. So teachers, know that you are loved, and thank you for all that you do, and we're just grateful for you. And then what's your favorite part about River Kids?
The class?
Yeah, you like class? Awesome, very cool. And then, what's your favorite part? You got something.
Learning.
You like learning? Oh, very good, very good. Hey, and so River Kids Together has kind of been doing, they've been doing, Dad's proud over there. He trained her up. River Kids has been doing a little project for the past month or so and have been raising some awareness for some needs to help children out. And so you guys made some shoe boxes, and I actually have a photo I want to put up here. See if anybody recognizes the person in this photo. Anybody know that girl? Who's that girl? Hey, it's you. Hey, Zoe, can you tell me what were you guys doing with River Kids? You collected a bunch of shoe boxes. And come over here so everybody can see you. What were those shoe boxes for? Can you tell us?
Kids who don't have anything to play with or anything like that. And they're their first toys, so it's sort of like you're giving some stuff new to them.
That's great. That's really good. So they collected lots of boxes for children so that kids who don't get Christmas all over the world got a shoebox full of stuff. And so parents, if you guys were involved in that, very good, because I'm assuming you didn't drive to Five Below to stuff a shoebox. I'm sure you guys had somebody chauffeur you around. So thank you, parents, and thank you, kids. And awesome. You guys excited for Christmas? Okay, everybody, gather around this microphone. We're going to say Merry Christmas on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three.
Merry Christmas!
All right, you guys go to class. Give them some love. Good job. All right. Very cool. Hey, I just want to say thank you to all of our volunteers who work with River Kids. You guys are awesome, and just love what God's doing in our kids. Also, thank you to all of our volunteers and our other young people ministries like Kids Connect on Saturdays. You guys are equally as awesome, and what God's doing there is just really, really sweet. And then also to those who are working with middle schoolers and high schoolers as well. So grateful. And so here's what we're going to do. One portion of our Christmas offering is going to go specifically to a next generation project. And so here's how we're approaching this. We don't have a project in mind. I'll be really honest. We don't have a project in mind. But what we want to do is, what we do know is that God is calling us to really invest in the next generation and to take our ministries to the next generation, to the next level. And so much like we have done with a facility, we're not planning to be here for forever. We started to put some funds away for facilities. Similarly, we're doing that with children. We're just in faith saying, we know that God's got something in store next. And so we want to start to put some funds away in faith, believing that God's going to show us exactly how we're going to use the funds that we raise this Christmas for something very specific to enable us to minister to kids on a whole new level. And so you guys excited for that? I'm excited for that, and just love that God has shaped our church in such a unique way that we just have lots of children. It's very, very beautiful. And so again, in Jesus' culture, children were often overlooked and highly, very much undervalued. And Jesus said, "Oh no, not on my watch. We're gonna care for these kids. Let them come to me. I value them. I see them." And similarly, we're gonna move on to our next area of an area that can often be overlooked, and that is entire neighborhoods. There are whole neighborhoods that can be overlooked. In fact, we started Charles River Church in these particular neighborhoods because we knew that there was a tremendous need for a life-giving church on this side of Boston, in Parkway Boston. And so we just felt like, why are people overlooking? And all their new church is coming, but they seem to be going downtown. There's something about this neighborhood. There's a real need here. And so I think that's on the heart of Jesus. The fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and was raised in Nazareth, two just podunk towns, barely on the map. And that's where Jesus went and put them on the map. And so we want to look at neighborhoods that can often easily be overlooked. And so we want, our heart is to see a life-giving church in every neighborhood in Boston. And so over the past year, I think we all know by now that we've had just an amazing church planting resident with us, J.D. Mangrum, and he's been with us for a year. And this month, this is the start of his last official month of residency with us, and then he's going to really start holding services January, February, and then kick it off fully in March. And so I've asked J.D. to come up and just to share a little bit about God's heart, God looking at neighborhoods and God's heart for overlooked neighborhoods. And so he's going to share some scripture with us and also just share a little bit about what God's doing in Charlestown. That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah. It's awesome to get to follow the elementary schoolers. That's not a tough act to follow at all. We've had such a great year here. We were so apprehensive about uprooting our lives. We were really comfortable where we were. And honestly, you guys have been the perfect landing place for our family. And really just the best way I could put it would almost be like an incubator for us to learn New England within a safe climate, for our kids to be loved and for my wife to be loved and for us to figure out the city. A couple of years ago, a lot of this for us started with, there's a poem, a little short, little rhyming poem that has stuck out in my mind for years. It says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And God really burned into my heart this idea that we only get one life and we want to live it for maximum kingdom impact. Because the truth is, most of the people living around us in Boston, greater Boston, are far from Jesus. And they would step out of this life into eternity separated from God. And we only get one life. And so I want to share with you really quickly three sort of theological reasons for church planting, and then just tell you a little bit about our family and where we are on the journey with Christ Church Charlestown. So why church planting? One, because Jesus commands us, I think implicitly, to start churches. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And so as we make disciples of all nations, and those aren't geographical boundaries, those are people groups, implicit in that is that healthy churches would start up in every nation. And the thing I love about Boston is every neighborhood kind of takes on its own flavor. Roslindale is incredibly different from Charlestown, is incredibly different from Cambridge, is incredibly different from Lower Mills. Every place is incredibly different. And every person in every one of those neighborhoods ought to have the repeated opportunity to see and hear and respond to the good news of Jesus without having to leave their zip code. And so I love that Charles River Church's heart is to plant churches all over where there's dots on the map and zip codes where there are no healthy, life-giving, gospel-preaching, community-engaging churches. The second reason, I put a little photo mosaic together last night of my kids, and it was amazing to watch my kids from day one to Owen is 5 years old and Noah's 8 years old. It was amazing to watch them develop. And there's a theological principle in that. There they are. Good. Noah had black hair when he was born. And then it all fell out and it came in blonde. And it won't always be that way, but it's kind of funny. It's neat to watch how fast kids grow. And if you just look at like a Facebook or Instagram feed watching it happen, the truth is new bodies grow and develop faster and new churches grow and develop faster. And so when we're committed to planting churches in neighborhoods, I think we're looking at the fastest way to watch the gospel multiply quickly in a community. And also, statistically, I'll tell you that churches that plant churches grow quickly too. And so one of the best ways that you're going to continue to serve and engage Roslindale and stay focused on the mission of the gospel and West Roxbury is to plant churches. And so I love that heart. And the third reason that we plant churches, I think we put this, I think we've got this up. There's a one of my favorite Christmas verse is from the book of John, John 1. And I love it from the Message translation. So I'm going to read it to you if I can. John is writing about Jesus and the Word becoming flesh. And he says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." I think people all over Boston, in all these neighborhoods with no churches, and I think about Lynn, Mass, with not one, 90,000 people and not one healthy, life-giving, English-speaking church. 90,000 people. Somebody's going to move into the neighborhood there one day. And I think people in Lynn, if I were to describe them, I think there are probably people in Lynn and people in, for us, here are the neighborhoods that keep me up at night. I go Charlestown with a population of 17,500 people. The North End, 10,500 people. Assembly Row will shake out in the end about 10,000 people. Wellington Station will be 5,000 people. Everett, Massachusetts, 53,000 people. Chelsea, Mass, 43,000 people. In those six neighborhoods, not one healthy English-speaking gospel presenting church, 145,000 people. Our heart is to see not just one church planted, but in 10 years to see six churches planted, because I firmly believe in every one of those neighborhoods there are people who are waiting to see the glory of God with their own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. People want to encounter that God. And it happens as people move into the neighborhood and churches are planted. So that's the mandate. We're getting ready to launch Christ Church Charlestown, I guess, in 4 weeks. Man, my lips quiver thinking about the idea of in 4 or 5 weeks, we're having a church service. So we're going to do our first preview service on January the 7th. About a month ago, the boys' principal gave clearance for us to meet in their school. And it's the perfect location for what God's put in our heart. And from day one, living there and praying, "God, where would you want a church to meet on Sundays?" That was the spot. And so he, with open arms, has welcomed us in to go in there. And so we're excited to meet there. We'll do our first preview service January 7th, our second one February the 4th. And God willing, and it scares me to death, but man, we only get one life, and it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. We're moving forward in the hope and prayer and expectation that we will launch on March the 4th. So I'm going to ask you to pray for just a couple of things for us. One, if you just pray for our worship leader who's good. Every Sunday, we love worshiping here. We have an incredible worship team at Charles River Church, right? It's amazing. It's a gift to this city to have someone who can lead worship and love Jesus like Pastor Kevin. And so we're praying for someone who will sort of get the plane off the ground, and then someone who will help us long term. And then two, if you would pray for the stuff we've got to buy over the next month. We've got a lot of stuff. I've started taking inventory of all the stuff that's here to make Sundays happen. So just pray that I'll know what all it is that we have to have, that we'll have a place to store it in the school, and that we'll get all the right stuff. That'd be great. Three, if you would pray for salvations. We're not planting a church so that people will be saved and come to follow Jesus. We're praying that people will continue to come to follow Jesus, and out of that, a church will rise up that's healthy in Charlestown. And then four, if you would just pray for more core families. Right now, we're about 4 or 5 core families who are really all in. But on a Sunday, you've got to have people who watch the kids and people who lead music and all that. So if you would just pray that over the next month that God would bring in a few more families to help us sort of do these dry rehearsals, essentially, in January and February, we would really, really appreciate your prayers. Friday night, I'll be done with this. Friday night, we did our first big community event. We did an Elf movie night. And we had people from CRC who came to help, and we were so grateful for those who came over, because I know it's no easy task to get into Charlestown on a Friday night. That's not for the faint of heart, right? And we had people. There's three people groups in Charlestown. They're the Townies, the Toonies, and the people living in the BHA. And we had dozens of people from each group and had about 125 people come and watch Elf. And at the end of that, people who've lived in that community forever said, "This was an incredible event." And as we were welcoming everybody, we said, "Hey, we're part of a new church that's starting here in the neighborhood." And it was really neat to see people with their eyes would light up with excitement for what God's about to do. They were so excited to have a church that's going to meet in that school. So, and thank you so much. We would not be here had we not been here for 11 months. So we love you and are grateful for you.
So cool. Well, hey, I want to show that picture, actually. We have a picture from the event on Friday night, and that's also the space where they're going to be holding church services in beginning January. And so, beautiful space. And I just want to just thank you, JD. You've been a huge part, taking a lot of weight off of our shoulders as well. And so, just been really grateful for your investment in Charles River. We're also seeking to be a part of this great work. And so, just so you guys know, I want to make sure we're all aware. Kind of, again, a third of our giving is going to go from the Christmas offering to Christ Church Charlestown. Over the past 7 years since we've been in existence as a church, we've been putting away 2% of everything that comes in specifically for the day that God gives us the opportunity to start a new church. And so last year, as JD came in, we took all of the money that we had raised and gave it to Christ Church Charlestown. And so that, with a matching gift that we received, we were able to give $20,000 to Christ Church Charlestown. And we want to be able to do something like that again this year. And so we've got to go big with our Christmas offering and be able to this year try to match what we've gathered over the past 7 years. And so that's a big step. But we believe that God can do it, and we want to continue to invest. We are so with you, and you are not overlooked. And I know the feeling of being dropped off and then almost forgotten, and we're not going to forget you either. We're not going to be like, see ya, so glad they're gone. No, we're going to keep being invested. And I know it's on the other side of the city, but we're just excited to stay connected with these guys. And so JD, Natalie, we are so with you, and we love you guys and so grateful. So can we just pray together for Christ Church Charlestown, the Mangrum family? They got some big stuff happening over the next month, and so let's pray for them. Father, thank you for just the privilege to be that landing pad for a season for the Mangrum family and for some of the people who are part of the core team for Christ Church. And now we're excited to be the launching pad and just send them out. And God, I'm so thankful that just as Jesus moved into the neighborhood, they've taken that step of faith to move clear across the country and to move into an unfamiliar neighborhood so that people who are far from Jesus can know Jesus. And so God, I pray that you would honor their efforts and you would come true on your promises that you will build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we love these guys and we are so excited for what you're going to do with them. Would you do great things? Would you meet all their needs, all the equipment? We know that's easy for you to just say the word. All the people, God, we pray that you would surround them with the people to be a part of this team, whether they're believing families who are saying, I too want to move into a neighborhood, I want to invest in a neighborhood, or it's people who are coming to faith right there in the neighborhood from the three different really people groups in that neighborhood. God, we trust that you're going to do something powerful. We're going to give you all the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Show them some love one more time. All right. All right. Well, one final area, one third of our Christmas offering that God's really put on our heart, and we do this every single year with our Christmas offering. This is the time of year that we give specifically to the nations. Every year, a massive portion of our giving around Christmas goes to bring the message of Jesus to the nations. And I want to read that passage again that JD read, Matthew chapter 28. This is so important and so powerful. But Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So we are to make disciples of what? All nations. Of just Boston? No, of all nations. We're to make disciples of all nations. And I'm often reminded of one of the coolest things about Boston is that it's such a global city, and we have people from all nations coming here. Even in our church family, we've got immigrants, we've got refugees, we've got broke college students from all over the world even. And it's just so neat to see that people have come to Boston from all over the world. But we also have to go to them. Another passage of scripture that I love has really impacted my life, John chapter 20, verse 21. I want to put this on the screen for you as well. John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. See, Jesus came to earth. God became a man because the Father sent him on a mission. He said, yes, gladly, I'll do that. For the joy set before him, the Bible says, he endured the cross. It was his joy to take on some sacrifice and some crazy humility for us to be made right with God. And similarly, he says, just like the Father sent me and I with joy in my heart took on that mission, I'm sending you and I'm calling you to go and to be a part of making disciples of all nations, whatever that looks like. And for some of us, that may mean God's calling us to go and the church is in the process of preparing to go to some specific locations. Two things that God's put on our heart. One is that we can identify a place where we can be a part of planting churches where it's Spanish speaking because we have so many Spanish speakers in our church family. And then also in a place that's a really difficult area that would be an unreached people group, that we can identify a people in the world that are not yet reached with the gospel, and that we can pray for them, and we can ask God to move in power, and we can be a part of giving and going to help people there come to know Jesus. So we're going to, in time, call you to go. We also want to call you to give and send your money out and be a part of it in that way. And so we are all about joining Jesus in his rescue mission. And so the way we do it as a church family is we give internationally through what's called the International Mission Board. And it's the largest international missions movement. And God has done some powerful stuff there. It's led by David Platt, and some of us have gone through some of his discipleship material as a church. And so I'm going to show you a video. David's on it, and it shares a little bit of our heart for the nations. All over the world who are being overlooked, that the gospel has not yet come to. And I believe because of technology and because of global travel, it's the time to bring the message of Jesus to people all over the world. And we're going to be a part of that. And so I'm super excited for what God's going to do there and bring the gospel to tough places and make sure that no person, whether it's a child or a neighborhood or an unreached people group on another side of on the other side of the globe, make sure that every single person gets the chance to hear the gospel, that nobody is overlooked by Jesus. And similarly, as a church family, we're going to make sure that we're looking at Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, we're going to often see him looking at those people who are marginalized and overlooked. So that's our heart. You guys excited about this Christmas offering? I'm excited. I'm really excited to see what God's going to do. I'm excited to come back in some months and just report some opportunities that God's given us as we put funds away in faith. And so I just want to ask you, if you would, inside of your River Guide, as always, you get the connection card. But this week and through the rest of this Christmas season, we put in there an envelope that says Christmas offering on it. And specifically reminds you that we are about looking at those who are often overlooked. And so if you would do us a big favor, and would you take that envelope, put it on your fridge, put it on the dash of your car, put it somewhere where you can remember to pray. And I want to challenge us, let's let our biggest gift this Christmas season be for those people who are overlooked. Let's say this year, our biggest gift as a family, as a couple, as an individual, our biggest gift is going to be for the mission of Jesus, so that we can give these funds. All of it's going out. All of it's going out for these specific purposes. And so let's do that together. Pray about exactly what God would have you to give, and whether you're ready to come back next week or the following week or Christmas Eve, you come and be ready to give to those causes. I'm super excited about what God is going to do. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray and ask you to join me in prayer, and let's just together just pray that God will take our gifts as a church family and just multiply them so that people around the globe, in Charlestown, and children in this side of the city will get to hear the message of Jesus. Would you join me as we pray? Father, this is now our heart because it's your heart. And God, this Christmas season, I pray that you would help us to look to you in our personal devotional times, that we would be in prayer and in the scriptures, and we would just have our eyes fixed on the God who became a man, the God who humbled himself, I mean, the greatest descension, the greatest act of humility, that God, the creator of all things, would become really the scum of the earth and treated like a criminal, naked and hanging on a cross and dying in our place for our sins, so that we might be made right with God. We're so thankful for that. That as you walked this earth, that you had your eyes on people who the world often overlooks. It was women in that day. It was the marginalized in that day. It was the sick in that day. It was the quote-unquote sinful in that day. It was children. You look at them. And God, I pray that as a church family, we would look at them and we would see them and we would be eager to give and eager to help. And God, we pray that you would blow our minds with the amount of funds that we're able to pull together to serve these causes, to care for those who might not receive the care that they need. And so we commit it to you, God. We ask that you do an amazing work. God, as we think about this hope candle over here, burning down, we pray, God, that it just symbolizes closer and closer and closer. People who are far from Jesus are getting to a relationship with Jesus, the Savior of the world, that they would have the hope of Jesus that we have in our hearts. So help us to be generous to give it, because you gave so freely. Thank you for your grace. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray.